This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David Jeffrey Earl, and
David cinematically inspired Edwards. There you go.
Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you over the crisp HD lens that is Zoom.
Do you enjoy these deep dive episodes?
I love them. I love the idea of popping on the filmic, what do they call it?
Poncho?
Poncho, if it's Western, but also deep dive in the sense of snorkel, not a smoggle. Smoggle doesn't even exist, a snorkel. Pop the Sean Connery Thunderball-style snorkel on and A smoggle. Goodness me, that's the sort of, you can imagine that's a Smurf version of a snog.
Would you mind if I Google the word smoggle?
Absolutely. I think we may have come up with something brand new within the human dictionary.
I think you bloody well have.
What could we turn that into, for crying out loud, like a new sweet
such word?
No, absolutely nothing. It's what they call a brain fart, a brain hiccup, and that's what came out of me.
Okay, so yeah, it's a deep dive today. And today's deep dive is Carry On Camping.
Absolutely, Carry On Camping from the classic British comedy troupe of the 50s, 60s and 70s.
Is that when it ended, the 70s?
78 was when it went too far with Carry On and Manuel, where they said that it was almost smut, parodying smut. So it almost become, you know, completely just engulfed in smut, basically.
What is smut, David?
Smut is sort of a Blackpool comedy, Blackpool Pier comedy, soft pornography. Basically, it's like that dark part of the brain that wants to peek and look when mother's in the kitchen cooking flapjacks type of thing. It's makes you feel a little dirty. That's why you have that extra shower in the middle of the day, because of you've got involved in smut. Simple as that.
Smut, David, is also a fungal disease of cereals. Yes, in which parts of the ear change to black powder. It's a small flake of soot or other dirt or a mark left by one. Welcome everybody to the deep dive, Carry On Camping.
That's interesting. I didn't realise smut. I thought smut only was debris around the soul. I thought it was only something that hung within your sort of metaphorical well-being and self-esteem. I didn't realise it was something that could lurk in the ear holes. I'll have to look around for some smut.
Yeah, yeah. Fungal disease of cereals. Anyway, let's move on. Let's focus on Carry On Camping.
No. Smut's important with this one.
Carry On Camping. Where, it feels like a 70s movie. Was it mid-70s?
Very near, it was 69, because Carry On Camping is the third most successful Carry On film, so it was during their peak. They're all doing very well.
First most successful?
The third most successful.
No, the first?
The first most successful. I wish I could give that to you now, and I feel as though I fail quite horrifically.
No, not at all.
Let's have a look. What is the most successful Carry On film was? I do know for a fact that Carry On... Nurses was very, very popular. Is there a, yeah, Carry On Nurse was very popular because at one point they were planning to do Carry On Nurse again, but that was shelved, unfortunately. So most popular Carry On.
Carry On Matron.
Oh, goodness me.
The five best, according to the BFI, are, in no particular order, Carry On Cleo, Carry On Up the Khyber, Carry On Screaming, Carry On Camping, Carry On Matron.
There we go. And I've just found out as well that over a long period, Carry On Camping has become the most successful Carry On film financially. So there you go. I could have just said it. To you, do you know what I mean? I did have the fact, and I didn't have to bend one knee to Google and start typing that stuff into the old keyboard.
When I say I love it, I haven't seen it for about 25 years, but I love that it's set in like a woodland location. It feels cozy. Whether I'd watch it now and go, oh, this feels weird, this feels unusual, I don't know. But you've watched it recently, David, yeah?
Very recently. And
did it tickle you?
It's a real mixed reaction of there's some very confused dark moments in it.
Dark?
Yeah, very dark. That aren't supposed to be dark, but when you're looking through them with contemporary culture eyeballs, it's just like, where is this going? I found Sid James and Barbara Windsor characters quite grating and at times a bit grimy, most definitely. It's like, it makes sense that Barbara Windsor was going out with one of the Craig brothers at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Craig.
It's almost, is it Craig? Was it Craze?
Cray. Under the Cray.
One of the Cray brothers, sorry.
The Craig brothers.
Urban Gangsters isn't my my shindig, Craig, unfortunately. Absolutely. Brother. Daniel Tommy. Craig and Trevor Craig and Tommy, they're hanging around with them outside the local spa, and things just went downhill.
The Craig brothers, they were really weak
before 007 came to Craig's life. Do you know what I mean? It was nothing.
Before you go into that part of the Carry On Camping, can you tell us what's it about? What's the movie? What happened?
Absolutely. It is about, well, it's like a lot of the Carry On films, you have these groups. Well, it's basically Carry On films are kind of multi-strand, aren't they? So it's a collaboration of different characters, all with their own little issues, set within one location. So it's almost like a kind of soap opera narrative structure, in a sense. In the they're either in a hospital, or they're all planning to go camping, or they're in a military setting, Carry On Sergeant. But then you keep cutting away to all these different scenarios with these characters connecting to the same theme. So it's definitely got that kind of multi-strand, kind of like soap opera element to it. So with this one, you have Kenneth Williams and Jackie
Chan.
What's her name? Not Jackie Chan. He wanted to get involved, but they didn't allow him. Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams. They are in charge of a schoolgirl class. One of the schoolgirls is Barbara Windsor, even though she looks way too old to be a schoolgirl. It's ridiculous. They're teachers.
What?
And she's one of the schoolgirls. Oh. So it's more like a male fantasy of a schoolgirl than a literal one. Yep, that's where we're going with this. Then you've got Bernard Bristol.
No, not Bernard Bristol.
Bressel. Is it Bressel? Breslau.
Bressel.
Sorry. Bernard Bressel.
I love Bernard Bristol. Here comes Bernard Bristol.
Sid James with their partners. One of them is Joanne Sims. And she used to apparently get very upset.
David, you're having trouble with the names.
Who was it? Sid James?
Did you say Joanne Sims? Joan Sims.
Joan Sims. I'm having terrific trouble.
One of the worst 1-2 minutes.
God, you can see why I'm not invited to do live Q&As, can you? Really intriguing.
Bernard Bristol and Joanne Sims.
Dear me. Things like this make me just realise, do I have learning needs? Can I get a free parking permit outside Audi?
Do you Maybe remember Ethel in EastEnders?
I do remember Ethel and EastEnders.
She was a bit like this.
Oh, I just seen Bernard Bristol.
Bernard Breslau, Ethel.
we would have got, you know, I could look after that laundrette. Do you know what I mean? I could quite happily get involved in EastEnders if they wanted to do the Next Generation. But anyway, ooh, that's,
yeah,
that's something else to focus on. Now,
Charles Hawtrey.
Charles, God, flipping heck. If you want a tearful story about an actor,
yeah,
he's the man. I mean, because I went down a rabbit hole, a YouTube rabbit hole after watching this Carry On film, and the history behind Carry On is utterly fascinating. But Charles Hawtrey, because I mean, he was a big, big actor before Carry On. He appeared in a lot of the very early Hitchcock films and other big directors. And he would just literally always be drunk all the time. There was one film where they wanted him to appear just so he was in the actual film, so fans would be satisfied and he could be in the marketing. And he only had two scenes. I think it was Carry On Screaming, I believe. But they had to change the character and turn him into a drunk because he was always drunk. Simple as that. And they said that he'd turn up every day with a plastic bag, with a bottle of Tizer, a newspaper and woodbines and sherry, and just sit on his own in the corner. And Kenneth Williams thought it would always be funny to hide his plastic bag of Tizer. And it wasn't an ongoing joke. Apparently, Hawtrey found it, you know, it became very aggressive. He was obviously halfway through a bottle of sherry. Do you know what I mean? So every morning for him was Christmas. And very dark indeed. But the other awful thing is the guy who produced Carry On, and let's see if I can get his name correct.
I'm loving this, David. I think it's my favourite deep dive.
Carry On is catnip. It's fascinating. Peter Rogers was the producer, and he was incredibly tight with the money, to the extent that none of them got cars driven to Pinewood Studios. You get a bus and then walk to Pinewood Studios.
Serious?
Absolutely serious. There was a famous actor who picked Charles Hawtrey up.
Charles Hawtrey.
Sorry, mate. This is becoming annoying now, isn't it? I apologise.
No.
I should have...
It's funny, annoying, then it gets funny again.
Dear God, so I've literally got all the casts in front of me, like, give us a clue. Do you know what I mean? It really is quite horrific.
A clue?
Look, I'm doing
horrifically.
Shall we just stop this and I'll come back? I'm just going to sit in a dark room with a bowl of muesli.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the one where the faces come up on the board game. You know, you guess who they
guess
are.
Guess who?
Absolutely. Anytime you want to pull your internet cable, though, because you feel as though I'm just unable to verbalise anything, do. It's not a problem. He was picked up by a well-known star. Can't remember the person. Could have been Roger Moore, because Roger Moore was doing the Bond films at the same time alongside them. And he says, what on earth are you doing, old chap? Why are you walking? There's no road traffic. And he just said, you know, the number six is late. I'm having to walk in. But all the cast did buses. And also the other thing is all the filming for all the... Carry On films were always only 20 miles away. I think about, 5 to 10 miles away from the actual location. Therefore, as in location as Pinewood, sorry,
yeah.
5 to 10
yeah.
miles away from Pinewood. Therefore, it wasn't officially seen as a location shoot. So they had to buy their own lunch. It was that tight on what they were doing. And every film would take 6 weeks to film. And yeah. they're always the James Bond crew. So it was quick money for the James Bond crew in between James Bond movies on Pinewood.
I'm loving this, David. Loving
and it would be absolutely, I'm glad, after my sort of inability to string sentences together. And it was always absolutely freezing. Because during the summer, they'd all be doing summer pantos. So what's a summer panto? I don't know. But obviously, it's a summer
season.
Summer season. There we go. And they had to be quick because everyone was doing Christmas panto. But if you look at Carry On, you can tell that the lighting's always a bit big stream.
We can say fucked.
Absolutely,
isn't
you know,
fucked.
That's a word I could get my tongue around. That's not a bit. I can drop an F bomb. That's not an issue. And also, so very, very bright. And a lot of people think the brightness of the light is to go with the camp, you know, humour of the whole piece.
Right.
But it's not at all. They are absolutely freezing. And if you look at their bodies in more detail, you can tell they're wearing a lot of makeup. Their actual body, you know, on their arms, because they're wearing bikinis, particularly on Carry On. And like, because they're freezing, because they want to use that period September to November to get it done. Sort of 6 weeks is how much it would cost.
Right.
And it's freezing weather, because then they're gone at Christmas, because the top player's got £5,000 a film. That's in our money now. And then for some reason...
Whoa, got £5,000 of film?
£5,000 of film. Yes, that's correct.
That's today's money.
And that is in today's money, yes. Incredibly low, low money. I mean, oh, God.
What?
I've got another word, David, that I'm suffering with. Insulation. It's not insulation. What is the word when money rises through...
Inflation?
Inflation. There we go. Apologies. I'm going to have to look at your face here. Because I'm looking at a screen of Carry On stars.
And what, am I rolling my eyes?
Are you in absolute... Where is your temperature, monitor, at the moment?
I'm fine.
Oh, there we go.
I'm laid back. I'm loving it.
You're laid back. You're loving it. So, I mean, inflation may have changed a bit since the last, when I was looking at that research on the internet. You know, some of it might have been 10 years old or whatever, but it wouldn't have been much more than that. And if you weren't one of the main players, you get £2,000. And I'll tell you another thing that's really impressive. Okay, a lot of it is politically incorrect, what they're doing, you know, a lot of the jokes and everything, but the timing and the rhythm is absolutely spot on perfect. They're all comedically talented. You would never get a second take on a Carry On film. It was always take one.
Is that what you read?
Yeah, 100%. And if you ask for another take, you were not invited back. Simple as that. It really was really... And that, the producer... Before he died, he felt quite bad that he did them all over on money, because they got zero royalties, that he actually started a charity for actors afterwards that, are penniless. But a lot of people said that, well, you should have just helped the real people who needed the money, who were in the films. Because the irony is, the films were so popular, when the film started, they couldn't get any more work because they were so linked to the smutty comedy.
Right, right.
Yeah, basically, the way they made loads of money was in the 80s, they did compilations. Do you remember Carry On, where they did
compilations?
Compilation TV shows.
You are having trouble with your words this morning.
Yeah, it's too much information. It's just a disaster, isn't it? I've been given the microphone too much for this one. I've done too much of a deep dive.
David, I'm loving the Carry On deep dive.
Well, I think we'll have to share the conversation, because I think I'm being given too many words to wrestle with. Quite horrific. And, oh, good grief, we've got a melon entering into the mouth. I'm seeing everything as an innuendo now. I'm seeing it through Kenneth Williams' lenses. But the collection of Carry On clips within a TV show.
This is my favourite deep dive.
Goodness ever. Me. You have to put some kind of warning on it. Do you know what I mean? Man with learning needs is in charge of this particular audio experience. So, yeah, meet him halfway. And we'll get a charity to sponsor it, I think.
We could do. Just Giving.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. What was the... that made loads of money, because you're not filming anything new. You're just going into the archives and just plucking it out. And it was so successful on TV. Do you remember it being on the 80s?
Yeah,
in the
80s? I do.
Because the thing is, really and truly, Carry On is just a string of sketches in a particular location. So it's not like showing you the end of Oppenheimer or whatever.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You
couldn't give a shit drop about in the middle story.
Of it. And it was so, so popular, the BBC poached it off from ITV. So it made loads of money, royalties, you know, then advertising money for the ITV. And the cast got zero. And that's when Barbara Windsor apparently got very upset that, you know, they're not even going to...
You might like this. Just a little bit. There's a fact here from DDD.
Oh, please join in.
Does David Edwards know the director's brother directed 39 Steps?
No. So Alfred Hitchcock. 39 Steps is 39 Steps. Did Hitchcock do 39 Steps?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the director directed all 31 Carry On films?
The same director.
The same director and also the same producer. The cinematographer did 11 films and one of the main writers did 15 films. It was very much a family. Very much a family.
Director's nephew is a producer now. High Rise, Sexy Beast, Naked Lunch.
God, that's fascinating. The director's... so is that again the director's son?
Nephew.
Nephew, sorry.
Oh, DDDPPP, the remake, not Hitchcock.
Oh, that is interesting. That is still fascinating stuff, though. Yeah, the director did all of them, basically. And he became a real pro at getting them in and out very, very quickly. And within that six-week kind of window, ultimately.
Which part of Carry On Camping did you feel uncomfortable? What moments did you feel seriously uncomfortable?
Well, I mean, you basically got... To go through the narrative, you have... let's just hope I get these names right. You got Sid James and his mate.
Bernard.
I'm not even going to mention the surname because I'm getting annoyed with my inability Bristle. To say a thing now. Bristle, we'll just call him Bristle. Basically, you open with those two eating ice lollies with Joan Sims and another actress, which I'm not aware of, and they're in a cinema watching a documentary about a nudist camp. Mm. And he's getting the idea of, I'm going to go camping because this is what happens. So it's those two trying to get their partners along. Then you've got Kenneth Williams, basically the headmaster of the schoolgirl class. One of the schoolgirls.
They're schoolgirls?
Yeah, basically. They're all just like teenagers, basically. But it's a male fantasy of a schoolgirl. And then you have Terry Scott from Terry and June with his wife with a ridiculous laugh. And he's just like, you know, this notion of the man stuck in a marriage that has no lust in it whatsoever. And he's just bossed around. And they've all got this idea that they're all going to go camping. And then you've got Charles Hawtrey, who's this odd chap who's just going camping on his own.
Honestly, he's my favourite.
Just knocks between all of them, comes in contact with all of them. I would say some of them...
Is there a Swedish lady or a doctor who's after Kenneth?
No, the Kenneth one, because he's always being chased by someone who can't quite... who hasn't got their gaydar up, isn't it? It's just they don't realise he's homosexual. That is... within this particular one, it's Hattie Jake, who's also the school teacher that's taking the girls on the camping outing. And there's this classic, I mean, I would say the bits where it gets dark is Barbara Windsor's jokes become very grating and just a bit smutty and repetitive. The same with Sid James. But it's Kenneth Williams' reactions are still absolutely hilarious. So Barbara Windsor constantly plays tricks on Kenneth Williams. So he enters a shower.
Yeah.
She knows that Hattie Jakes is in there. He gets into a bed that Barbara Windsor's changed the numbers to the hotel room. So he gets in the wrong room and gets in bed and Hattie Jakes is in there. And it's just his reactions, his timing, his rhythm. And to think it was all done in one take is just...
That's amazing. Didn't know that.
Absolutely incredible. But when it gets really uncomfortable is when they all start meeting together on the same camping site and Barbara Windsor and Sid James start interacting. And Sid James basically starts grooming Barbara Windsor. You know, he's trying to invite her to his tent. And I mean, he looks like a grizzled old man and she's supposed to be a schoolgirl. And he's talking to her.
How old is she supposed to be in this?
She's supposed to be, at the absolute oldest, would be 15, 16.
Oh, my Lord.
And he looks like well in his 40s. And there's one bit, and he talks to her through a hole in the shower wall. And he's like, and they call each other Barbara and Sid. They don't even change their names. It's like, Barbara, are you there? Sid, is that you? Yeah, do you want a party? Come along to my tent. She won't be there. Who's basically Joan Sims. And Joan Sims apparently got very tired of always being this kind of like asexual dinosaur that was never sexualized in the films, that was always seen as the kind of the weight and chain around the ankles of the men type of thing. But there's a scene where Sid James is in his tent, and he's got loads of miniature vodka hidden underneath his sleeping bag, ready to sort of, you know, make this girl drunk while smoking a pipe, wearing his like middle-aged man cardigan, excitedly waiting for this schoolgirl to turn up to his tent. And he's just like, this is incredibly dark, because it's as simple as that, basically.
John Bones says here, David, Sid James was 56, Charles Hawtrey was 54.
Gosh.
Terry Scott was 42. That's just mad.
That is absolutely mad. Totally mad. Do you know the bizarre thing about the show? Yeah, it's just insane that they're just so... I saw a Charles Hawtrey interview, and I think he was promoting Carry On Camping at the time, and he just looked very old, very, very thin, and he was clearly drunk, and he was on an actual chat show.
I saw that. There's only about a minute or so of that.
Yes,
chat show,
it is about a minute of the show. He's just wearing this very kind of like 70s overly colourful shirt.
Yeah, it's grim.
Really, really very grim. And
can you do your Charles Hawtrey impression, where you go, "Oh, look at me." What's the line you always do?
Look at me. Oh, put your umbrella down, please. Stop sticking it up there. Oh, goodness.
See, I'd watch that movie.
Absolutely. Why can't they bring it back?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know why it's funny. It's just funny.
Obviously, they're tiny.
Oh, look at me. Stop. Your umbrella out there. Oh,
goodness me. Mother's getting a bit confused looking up and down my drawers. Mm. I don't know where that's going. But it's basically the style of comedy is very, in a way, childlike, but at the same time, the subtext is incredibly adult. And I think that makes it quite dark as well. It's very Chuckle Brothers at times. Like, for instance, you get the moment where, which I was laughing at, wholeheartedly, basically you got Terry Scott and his wife, Charles Hawtrey, knocks on their tent door, and also the idea of going camping in the 70s or late 60s looks hellish.
Those tents are triangular.
Horrific. I tell you, if you look at it now, there's nothing comfy about it. It just, you know, geez, Louise, looks like a prison camp. Ultimately, you've been caught by the Nazis, you know what I mean? Maybe edit that out. I don't want to get too political. Sorry, I'm giving you post-production work to do there. Keep it in. Doesn't matter if I get a bit of dog shit through the letterboxes. You know, it's my own doing. And it's a case of, Charles Hawtrey knocks on the... you don't really knock on a tent door, do you? Sort of scratch at it like a wet cat.
Is it sort of really early in the morning? He's got his little... And he's walking.
Yeah, 100%. Before he gets to the tent, because the tent bits when it's raining. But he talks to the locals and... he meets a local farmer. He goes, "Well, if you're gonna poke up your stick in your tent here, mate, it's gonna cost you money." "Oh, really? It didn't cost me any money last time." Mm-hmm. "You know, what kind of stick are you talking about?" "Oh, it's one of you, is it?" You know, it's all that type of thing.
Yeah.
But then the wife is so not interested in sex or anything like that when she comes to Terry Scott's tent. She's like, "Oh, why don't you just come in and sleep with us for the night?" And
I didn't know we were going to get a I just got a weird message. I didn't know we were going to get a reenactment. This is lovely.
Listen, I can't string words together, but I can do theatre.
Yeah,
I can do live response theatre. So if you want to make up for all the words being wrong, you go. You can do Sid. I could do Kenny.
Hello, Williams. Sid.
Oh, God, he's in there as well. Yeah. And he makes the whole Sid James grooming even darker. Do you know what I mean? It's almost
what
like
Brizzle
two,
does.
Yeah, it's like there's two serial killers, because he's massive, the size of Jaws. And Sid James is always trying... They're almost like a kind of... if Fred West wrote The Peep Show. Do you know what I mean? It's just like really dark. It's like, "We're going to have a party, Bernard." And he's like, "Oh, really? Shall I get some cake?" "Not that sort of party. Give me the vodka." You know, we're going to liquor up these girls and... horrifically, Can I just be 1 second? Is that right?
Just off the back of lick up these.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi there. Yeah. It's David Edwards, and I'm down for tomorrow morning. Thank you so much. So it's Thursday, 9 o'clock, and what's the street again? It's what's the name of the street? Bro, thank you very much. I'm just making sure I'm with the right dentist because I've booked in with the wrong dentist before. Goodness me! But yes, I've and who's my dentist again? It's I'm just making sure I've got. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. That's great. Thank you for your time. Take care of yourself. Bye. Bye. David, I'm so sorry about that, mate. I really am massively sorry. It's a case of I can't be there.
You were talking about liquoring up girls.
Dear, go straight to the dentist. Honestly, if that wasn't important, I wouldn't have
no,
hit
I don't
my
mind.
Jet button. That's very kind of you. I should have gone to the other room. I thought it was a bit quick. I thought she was going to say to me, it's now, you should be in the dentist chair, you know, and it's going to be complete.
It says, this podcast is bonkers.
Do you know what I mean? Well, stink bits, to make it even worse, mate, you want to look at my document, the time and research and energy that's gone into this. And, you know, it's just like...
But it's coming through, though. It's coming through. You know the carry-on
world. It's very, very good of you. But, I mean, it's all in execution, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Would I watch Carry On Camping, David, and feel uncomfortable?
Yes, you would.
Because I haven't seen it for years.
Because those two in the tent.
It's like Sunday afternoon.
Well, that's the thing. I was listening to a Radio 2 documentary on it as well. And they said that the TV broadcast for afternoons on a Sunday.
Yeah.
During the 80s, particularly, was an afternoon Disney film or a carry-on film. You know, because they're good for kids because they are the Chuckle Brothers, basically. So, for instance, there's a classic moment with Charles Hawtrey and Terry Scott where they both try and get in their pajamas in the tent.
Yeah.
And they both put their arms in the wrong, you know, pajama shirt and things in that vein. And they get lost in each other's clothes. And it is hilarious, even though it's so infantile. It's, do you know what? At times, the humor, the physical humor, is almost a bit like The American Office, which is incredibly popular. You know, parkour, jumping off, you know, tables. Because if the comics are that talented, they can pull off that madness. And they've got an incredibly talented comedy troupe, but there's just always this highly sexual, erotically, smutterly charged energy in the background all the time. And you get it a lot with Sid James and Barbara Windsor. All they bring along is just don't get me wrong, Sid James comes from good caliber, particularly the Hancock period. He was great in that, so I don't want to be completely negative, but here it's all very dark. And Barbara Windsor, I mean, you know, it becomes very repetitive as well, unfortunately.
Written by Talbot Rothwell.
He wrote a good 15 of them. He was the main chap in charge, and he's very much a British chap like this.
David, he spent his final years in Worthing.
Yes, I did read that. Yeah. And somewhat penniless as well, once again. Hey. All of the it's old Roger, the producer, who made all the cash all the time. Hey. Apparently, wow. Roger Moore would love to turn up and just flirt with the cast, apparently.
Really?
And apparently they're all very much, talk about a little comfy, old school British style. Barbara Windsor once said in an interview how everyone would be doing the same thing, in the sense that Hattie Jakes would always be doing a crossword, Sid James would always be starting up a poker ring, and Kenneth Williams and Barbara Windsor would be chewing on the fat together. Apparently, Kenneth Williams went on one of Barbara Windsor's honeymoons, but that couldn't be with one of the Cray brothers.
Or Craig brothers.
Oh, Craig. Maybe it was with Craig, Daniel Craig's honeymoon with Barbara Windsor.
Talbot Rothwell lived in West Blatchington. Do you know it?
I don't. No, I know Worthing. Oh, West Blatchington.
Then he moved to Fulking. I know Fulking because someone always messes with the sign, don't they?
Yeah.
Change it to fucking.
Oh, I did not know that, which is a very carry-on element. Oh, really? Maybe that was in salute to the actual writer of the comedies. But he did all the big ones, apparently, and wrote all the big ones and wrote a good 15. It was very much the same team all the way through, a real, real family setting. But if
he died, David, in King's Walk, Shoreham. 41 King's Walk, Shoreham.
God, well, I tell you, the absolute one in Sussex is obviously who was the female star of Wizard of Oz? And you gave me a book about Wizard of Oz over Christmas,
which you devoured.
I have massively devoured. What's her name?
I can't remember her name.
Well, she
not Liza, no, her mum.
Yeah, her mum. She died. We have to find her name. That's just absolutely ridiculous. This is appalling, isn't it? She died.
It's free, and their podcasts are free, aren't they?
They are. Christ. But, you know, there's a lot of them, so they'll leave us. Judy Garland. What a disaster that I can remember that name. She, her final home was a flat in Brighton.
And it Judy Garland?
Near Brighton High Street, near where Wendy's is now, if you can believe it. Absolutely. Because she was very much embraced by the gay community of East Sussex.
Well, I never. I didn't know that.
Very much penniless once again.
Do you know what? Oh, I'm looking at it now. Her final out. I didn't know that.
The other one that was really depressing is Captain Mannering, isn't it? he died completely penniless in like a one-bedroom flat.
David, Judy Garland's flat is so bleak.
Where are the images of that? I've never seen the actual flat.
Well, it was sort of knocked down. It's turned into like a mod. It looks good now. But the original one, I'm guessing this is from the 80s or 90s.
Where'd you get that? Do you go... Are you
in the Daily Mail.
Sorry, David, but we'll have to edit this. Do you know what I mean?
No, well, I'll have to edit it.
Oh, mate, I apologise.
You'll just get on with your life.
Oh, mate, I apologise. Sorry. No, I know. Just get on with your life. I do know what you mean.
Actually, can you edit this one, David?
God, absolutely.
Really?
We
need it done by Friday.
Honestly, I do apologise even saying that. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of... and I do understand what you're saying there, that it's so easy in life just to hand on the baton and move on.
Look at this, David. I've put it in... it's not bloody working. Yeah, I've put it in WhatsApp.
The only thing with WhatsApp is I don't have it on my PC. I've only got it on my...
This is such a weird episode.
Oh, God. It really is. Let's get back to...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry, everyone. I don't always like to listen to. But we're having fun, I think.
I know exactly where that flat is. It's near the actual high street of Brighton High Street, and it's either around the corner of KFC or Wendy's.
Right.
Absolutely. And you go up there to go to the train station. It's right in the heart of so, you know, you'd have had very average day-to-day people who are neighbours with Judy Garland. So it's really like me
average day-to-day
with BA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, average day-to-day suburban people. Do you know what I mean? Who eat, you know, ready bread for breakfast and have Heinz beans for dinner. They'd be rubbing shoulders with a Wizard of Oz star, which is bizarre. It'd be like me hanging out with, as I say, you know, BA or The Rock in 20 years' time when he's forgotten.
Yeah.
Utterly surreal.
Anything else to tell us about Carry On Camping? Did you enjoy it? Did it whiz by? Brilliant. And now your internet's gone. Fantastic.
Has it gone completely?
It's not great. That's fine.
It's completely gone, has it?
Yeah, you're really sticky.
What does it sound like?
Honestly, this episode couldn't have ended. It feels like a carry-on episode. It's lovely.
Absolutely. It does feel like a current episode full of complete mayhem. basically, David, am I still sticking? Should we end the Zoom?
You're not
just
too
come
bad
back?
Now. You're not too bad now.
Are you sure the audio is okay?
Yeah, we're coming to the end of the ep anyway.
Right, okay. Coming to the end of the episode, how are they finding it on Patreon? Is it very much like, dear God, this is a complete mess?
I'll do a shout out. For those watching live, how are you finding this episode? Is it funny? Is it informative? Is it annoying and irritating? Please let us know now.
I would say you were saying, you know, how was it to watch?
Yeah.
It does become very repetitive after a while. I had to take breaks. It's almost as though compilation one would be far better in the sense I would say it works as half an hour segments. I tell you what is really interesting to watch that I didn't know. And with different lighting and cinematography, it makes the Carry On films even more smuttier. It's in the 70s, they did a Carry On TV series, and they did two Carry On TV Christmas specials. Mm-hmm. And in a live TV studio setting, it's very much a case whereby it feels even more smuttier, bizarrely, with like a live audience. It hasn't got that cinematic Panavision look. Mm. And in the actual...
Even cheaper, massively.
Yeah. And there's one where Sid James, it's a Christmas special. Sid James is way too old now. And once again, Barbara Windsor's playing a schoolgirl. And she's way too old for that. She looks like she must be in her like late 20s, early 30s. And she's sitting on Sid James's lap, who's dressed as Santa. And he's just doing endless innuendos. And the mother's there as well. And she doesn't quite understand what's happening. And it's just very... It feels like a scene at a Natural Born Killers. Do you know Natural Born Killers, where they cut to the sitcom that's really dark?
Right.
It's supposed to be about nice family life, but it's got a dark underbelly to it. It's got that vibe to it all the way through. So it definitely has that vibe. I would say about I could watch it for 25-minute segments.
Oh, really?
And be entertained, and then you lose your way. The ending is really bizarre of Carry On Camping.
I don't
whereby
remember.
You can get suddenly a music festival turns up and loads of cool, like swinging 60s kids start dancing in one of the fields. And Sid James has the idea to dress up like a hippie and everyone else does who are of an older generation. And they get a piece of rope and without the hippies knowing, they tie all their bead necklaces together and then drag them out of the field like a herd. And then they play around with the electrics of the guitars and then the guitars blow up. And it's almost like the older generation putting the younger generation in their place.
Well, that's what we would do, wouldn't it?
100%. It's like the Daily Mail reader victory, basically. And also you can tell that the budget isn't enough for this actual kind of quite large set piece type of thing. But then it's hilarious once again because Kenneth Williams comes around with... a sort of a water blaster machine trying to put out the actual speakers of the guitar that are on fire. So I mean, Kenneth Williams is still absolutely hilarious, but once again, very troubled man. A lot of people said that they would go around his house to keep him company because they were a family, but you could never use his toilet and you couldn't eat there either type of thing. So you just sit there in the corner and he literally just lived in one room on his own. Very much like Charles Hawtrey, ultimately.
Jesus. Jeepers creepers.
And also, Charles Hawtrey, there's a classic tabloid story that he ran through London with just his pants and vest on because someone set his flat on fire. And it was a young man that he'd invited round, had a night of passion with, but didn't pay him afterwards. And Charles Hawtrey was very much of the opinion that money wasn't involved. So the rent boy basically set fire to his entire flat. And he was homeless.
Sexually charged, aren't they, the Carry On?
Very sexually charged, goes without saying. Well,
the idea of you running through Chichester in your pants and vest. You heard about David Edwards? What? What?
Chichester, or I could be in Southampton, I could be anywhere, basically.
But yeah, not just Chichester.
Southampton, in that kind of... in that neck of the woods type of thing.
Yeah. But
the other thing that's connecting to what you're saying about the sexually charged energy, is Sid James would have endless affairs with Barbara Windsor. So they were literally having affairs. And Sid James would say to his wife, once filming's done, then it will be the end of that affair. It wasn't a case of, okay, I won't see her again for now on. It was always a case of, once we've done this project, then I'll stop sleeping with her. All right, you happy now? And but then they would carry on having affairs all the time.
Carry on having affairs.
Absolutely. There you go. But the other thing is, what's the other element? It was a case of, if you look at the later films, apparently they found it very hard to flirt on screen. And you can see that it's not got the same kind of, scummy energy, slutty energy, if you like, because they are literally having an affair in the background. And it became slightly problematic in that sense.
You have had a proper deep dive.
Oh, I absolutely loved it, Captain.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved that.
Well, I've absolutely loved this episode, David. Oh, I tell you what, though. This is where David gives his review. How many chocolates out of 5 is David going to give it? So, if everyone in the chat box would like to have a little guess, I think I know where this is going.
What? Let's go for it. What are we thinking?
So, let's see what people watching us live. By the way, I'm going to say a quick hello to everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. Spronks, DDD PPP, John Bones, Stinkbits, KB, Jeff Dale, Dr. Awkward, Dr. Greggles, Richard Banks, Toodlebug, Woody, KB, Sam Cox, Christian, Dan SR, Nicola Haddo, the Cardboard Giraffe. Mike Rolls. Right, let's see what people are going to give it. Okay.
Are there any carry-on facts there? Anyone chiming in with a carry-on trivia fact?
Well, if you've got any facts, bung them in now.
Did you ever watch Carry On Columbus? I've never seen that. That's when they tried to come back in the 90s.
Yeah, I saw a tiny bit, but it was,
Because Rick Mayall was in that, wasn't it? They tried to blend the old and new together.
Okay, David, so... how many choc ices out of 5 are you going to give Carry On Camping?
I would give it 2 out of 5.
Oh!
There we go. There we go. Basically, before the ending, before Sid James starts grooming Barbara Windsor in a very dark manner, I would have probably given it like maybe 3 out of 5. I was amused at times. It is funny. Do you know what I mean? Kenneth Williams' reactions and timing. And I suppose the thing with Kenneth Williams is he's trying to control the smuttiness around him, isn't he? So he's almost got like, you can go along with his humour. And also it is his timing and his reactions. Charles Hawtrey is also very amusing.
So I've got a fact here, David.
Please.
John Bones says, Charles Hawtrey lived in Deal in later years in Kent. My mate lived there and he was notorious for flashing young men.
Deary me. Goodness me. I mean...
Is that real? It's honestly... fuck me, that's bleak.
I guess it was just incredible. A man just incredibly... sozzled and incredibly frustrated, and also had an amazing career, didn't he? And also, for some reason, the producer would not pay him $5,000 like the others. It was always $2,000, and that really did upset him massively. And they did get rid of him after a while, didn't they? Because the exhibitors didn't want him to go, the people who were actually paying for it. And It was very much a case of, so they'll try and give him small parts at the end, usually as drunk characters, because he was drunk, as I said earlier, but then they just had to get rid of him because he was just always drunk all the time. I'm trying to remember the company who made
Barbara Windsor was 32 during Carry On Camping.
32! And she was supposed to be a schoolgirl. I mean, dear God, that's just insane. It's just a man's fantasy of just a very dark fantasy. And also the other thing is, a lot of the time the wives know that they are grooming the young girls, but they just look at the ceiling and wander off all the time. So it's just this bizarre world that, and also the idea of going to the cinema to watch it is quite perplexing as well. But then you have this cozy element of all four of them, like, you know, Sid James's wife and friends, eating sort of ice lollies in a cinema, having a lovely Sunday together, you know, simple times type of vibe. But then it's turned out they're watching a documentary about nudists. It's got this bizarre kind of very childlike, simple times kind of naivety, but then mixed with this highly erotically charged, very dark, toxic background.
I've got some facts here, David.
Oh, please share. John Bone. Please share.
Peter Butterworth, carry on, stalwart, was shot down in World War II and was sent to prisoner of war camp, Stalag Luft. The camp immortalized in the Great Escape film. There he met future Carry On film writer Talbot Rothwell. Butterworth and Rothwell performed shows for the camp inmates to cover the sounds of an escape tunnel being dug by other prisoners. Butterworth was also one of the gymnasts who provided a distraction to the guards and enabled the actual escape itself. Years later, Butterworth auditioned for the film The Wooden Horse that depicts the escape. But the filmmakers, unknowing he was an actual member of the escape attempt, decided he didn't look convincingly heroic or athletic enough. That is a fact and a half, isn't it?
That is, well, it's more than a fact. That's a potential documentary pitch. You could go into Channel 4 and get that financed. That's absolutely incredible. No, you couldn't at the moment, absolutely, with advertising sales being down. But who knows, it might turn a corner.
Everton owner Bill Kenwright had a cameo in Carry On Matron. No way!
Who's Bill Kenwright? Who is that?
He owns Everton Football.
There's no way that was... Is that real, do you think, or?
I don't know.
That is bizarre. I tell you one that was really interesting, where it shows that all the Carry On people, the Carry On gang, were a real family, was when Sergeant Bilko... What was the guy who played Sergeant Bilko in the 60s? Something Silver, wasn't that?
Yeah.
He came and did a cameo. So he didn't do a cameo. He had a starring role in one of the Carry On films so they could distribute it in America and, you know, create some American appeal for the overseas audience. And apparently the Carry On team really picked on him because he was getting a lot more money than them. And back then, they're only getting $2,000 to $5,000. And they played
$2,000 to $5,000 in today's money.
Well, I was saying that I think I probably read that in 2010, 2000, as in like documents within the internet.
Right.
So maybe, you know, it wouldn't be much more. I would say at the absolute most, you're talking about, you know, well, what would it be like 10, 20 grand if you were going to, if it wasn't in today's money? Also, they definitely, in today's money, a Carry On film did not cost £1 million in today's money. It would have been hundreds of thousands. It would have been the same as like a very low budget independent film. I think it would have cost something like £250,000 to £500,000 in today's money.
Well, David, it's been my favourite deep dive, no question. We've had a Valentine's gift. We've had the dentist receptionist ringing up. We've had
I do apologise for that.
We've had the Craig brothers. We've had Bernard Bristle. We've had some very interesting facts from John Bone. We've had the
Thank you, John Bone.
We've had the Bill Kenwright mystery. What can
which
I
is
say?
Fascinating, and that's where he met the writer as well, which is really, it must be bizarre, sat there in front of a typewriter coming out of all these innuendos and all these different situations. And
Bill Kenwright as reporter in Carry On Matron.
God, there you go.
What? Okay.
That is, well, the thing is, you do get the vibe looking at the documentary that they were very close London kind of interconnected gang. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine people from football teams turning up at the same drinks. I can imagine that being the case.
I don't know if he was owner of Everton back then.
Well, it's all about connections, though, isn't it? You do find that people do incredibly well that have got the... it's like I was listening to a podcast recently about David Beckham's sons, and their godfathers are massive CEOs, enormous CEOs. All of them have got a CEO each as a godfather. Do you know, literally like one that's
you
on
know
the...
them.
I haven't, unfortunately. I don't even know who my godfather is. I don't think there's any connection there at all. I think he was part of the Portslade police. So if you're in that postcode, perhaps he's got a bit of wiggle room there when it comes to a parking permit. But he isn't a massive media corporate CEO the size of Succession, unfortunately. But the police can come in handy late at night when you've done something illegal with your Skoda.
Thank you, David, so much for this episode's deep dive. Carry on camping.
Everyone carry on, blaring out loud. There's some wisdom there, isn't it? Just carry on. Carry on doing what you're doing. Apparently the first film, Carry On Sergeant, is an actual military term. So it wasn't supposed to be an actual series at that point. It was just supposed to be Carry On Sergeant.